Good morning. If we can bow our heads, I'll begin with the word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful morning you have given us, Father. I thank you for the bountiful mercies you have filled in our lives and the health and safety you have given for each one of us, Lord. Lord, as I speak today, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my lips may be pleasing in your sight, Father. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and let my words not be my words, but your words, Father. Help me to speak words that build up, edify, and encourage. In your holy name I pray, amen. First and foremost, I would like to thank God Almighty for providing me this occasion to speak from his word today to all of you here on this Sunday morning. I also want to thank Virgi Sachin for his prayerful support and for giving me this opportunity to speak on this Sunday. And of course, I would like to thank my family and friends for their prayerful support and presence as well. It is great to see everyone this morning, especially after experiencing all four seasons within Michigan this past week. We got a taste of spring and then some winter with lots of ice and ending off the week with snow. I pray you all are doing well, staying safe, healthy, and of course, staying warm with the lovely, unpredictable winter weather that we have in Michigan. Today, the church recognizes it as the second Sunday of the Great Lent. The theme for today, chosen by the church, is Jesus Christ who sanctifies. If you could all turn to the passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. I'll quickly read that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So what is sanctification? How is it possible to become sanctified? And how does this fit into the idea of holiness? The definition, which fits very nicely in with what the Bible teaches us, comes from a translation of the Greek word agiosmos, meaning holiness or separation. Or simply put, it means to be set apart. God's people are sometimes said to be sanctified because they are set apart for God's special purposes in the world. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 7 through 8 states this: "Consecrate yourselves to be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." Sanctification can also be used in a similar sense in the New Testament, where believers are already sanctified because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, which I will be speaking on today. As we read earlier, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 states, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." We see Jesus himself speak a lot about the revelation of sanctification, especially within John chapter 17, where he indicates that sanctification transpires through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. He states in John 17, verses 16 through 17, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." So sanctification occurs particularly through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and is an integral part of our salvation and our connection with Christ. We also hear this particularly within our own liturgy. Achin chants, sanctify the bodies and souls of those who receive these gifts, the gift of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So why is sanctification important, and an important part of the journey of a believer? Sanctification is the cooperative work of God and Christians by which ongoing transformation into faith and becoming like Christ occurs. Therefore, if there's no sanctification, there is no change. The work of the Holy Spirit introduces change in our lives that is necessary to remove us from the darkness of sin and into the kingdom of life. It brings death to the old life that we had before Christ and resurrection into the life that we now have with Christ. The greater the sanctification, the further from sin that we grow. The greater the sanctification, the closer to Christ Jesus that we grow. In a sense, this relates to how, by the grace of God, we were given the blood of Christ to save us. And by that alone, sanctification should be a response to that free gift of faith that we have been given. So sanctification essentially brings about a change of heart, a desire to love God and other people, and is a result of the free gift of grace that God has given to us. It includes a change of mind, seeing the world from an honest perspective, because as we get to know God, this will change everything in our perspective as a result. It includes embracing the truth about life, oneself, and also others. Sanctification is a particular aspect of the Christian teaching of salvation. It's a present experience of salvation, a process of transformation. And it's an experience that happens to a person after trusting Christ for salvation and after God's loving acceptance of them into his family, where we join the journey of becoming a new creation in Christ. So the Bible indicates three tenses or levels of sanctification. We see positional, progressive, and final sanctification. In the past, God has granted us justification, a once-for-all positional holiness in Christ that is gifted through Christ alone. In the present, God has granted us maturity, a practical, progressive holiness that we encounter each and every day of our lives. And in the future, God will give us justification, a permanent, ultimate, and final holiness. These three phases of sanctification separate the believer from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. So first off, there is positional sanctification. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive positional sanctification in him through the work of the cross. He purchased us with his blood. His Spirit in us sanctifies us. Sanctification, therefore, begins at the very moment of conversion and acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 states this, "But we should also give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." This is God's work of setting believers apart from non-believers. Even the newest believer who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work in the cross is considered holy. In this sense, Christians are sanctified in the present, dead to sin, and crucified with Christ. When we trust in Christ by faith, we are set apart in Christ and considered to be sanctified based on the work of Christ for us alone. We then have progressive sanctification. Through progressive sanctification, we become like Christ. We learn to love like Christ, act like Christ, and of course, think like Christ. But what does that look like in our daily lives? Progressive sanctification does not happen all at once. Christians, and myself included, don't immediately become loving, kind, humble, and self-controlled. It is a daily process and persistent challenge within our daily lives. As a process, sanctification means becoming more holy through time. Sanctification is not about perfection, but about persistence. And fighting sin is a lifelong endeavor for each and every one of us. For example, similar to a child growing up in adulthood, Christians become more sanctified over time. This means that we should expect to make progress, to grow, and become loving, kind, humble, and self-controlled over this life. While there may be occasional setbacks and lifelong struggles, God makes his people holy in the long run through persistence and faith. So as a result of the positional or once-for-all sanctification in Jesus Christ, there should be progressive sanctification, our works and our faith. And this is not the proof that we are right in the eyes of God, but should be proof that we have been justified through Christ in the eyes of God. And lastly, there is final sanctification. This third sense in which this word is used in Scripture is a complete or ultimate sanctification. This can also be known as glorification. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul speaks here of Christ as the hope of glory and links the glorious appearance of Christ to our personal glorification. He further states, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This glorified state will be our ultimate separation from sin, a total sanctification in every regard. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 also states, "This we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So how can we grow in our sanctification in our day-to-day life? This practical daily work of sanctification is a process, and it's something we never completely attain in this life. We will always be pursuing holiness in this lifetime as a result of the grace of God that is Jesus Christ our Savior. However, this should not discourage us, as we are not alone in the spiritual struggle. No one can attain this goal in his or own strength, but God has equipped us with the indwelling Holy Spirit and spiritual armor that is his word. God wants us to walk in obedience with him. As we obey his word, we grow in our sanctification. God gives us the power to live the Christian life, but in his wisdom, he expects us to assume our responsibility in also obeying him. In doing so, there are three primary agents or ways in which transformation or sanctification can be aided in our lives. The first agent is Scripture or the Word of God. As is shown in Jesus' statements within John chapter 17, verse 17, he states, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." As we read the instructions of the Bible, we are urged to obey them. And resolving to do so with God's help makes us grow in holiness. Being exposed to the scriptures also exposes us in the nature of God. When we spend time with God in prayer and in the word, his nature spreads throughout us, creating a change as a result of his grace. Second, there is the work of the Holy Spirit. We can see in the opening greeting of Peter's first epistle, it gives us a very clear example of the Trinitarian nature of our salvation. Peter talks of the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. We see here the Holy Spirit sanctifies in two ways. First, he sets us apart in Christ that we may be cleansed by his blood. And second, he works in us so we can be obedient to Jesus Christ. Through the sanctification of the Spirit, we are given a new position and built it with a new power. Though we must make an effort in our growth of in godliness, the Spirit empowers through and through. The Bible is not just a book of words telling us to change and leaving us to do it ourselves. We have already been changed. We are already new creations in Christ and have a new strength at work in our inner being, producing gospel fruit in us by the Spirit. The Bible expects that because God dwells in us by the Spirit, we can, by that same Spirit, begin to share in the qualities that are characteristic of God Himself. Of course, there is still a fight within us, but with the Spirit, there can be genuine progress and victory. How exactly, then, does the Spirit empower us for growth in holiness? I want to bring up the metaphor of life. The Holy Spirit, as we've seen, is like a light shining into our dark places, exposing our sin and leading us to repentance. The Spirit is also a lamp to illuminate God's word, teaching what is true and revealing it as precious. This is the very stunning argument that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Just as Moses had his face transformed when he saw the Lord's glory on Mount Sinai, so will we be transformed when we behold God's glory in the face of Christ. We will grow more and more into the image of the one that we see. We become the one that we behold. But when we finally see clearly to acknowledge our sin, accept the truth, and adore Christ, then we can be sure that the Spirit is at work within us to will and to do according to His good purpose and for God's good pleasure. And lastly, an important area for sanctification to occur in our lives is fellowship with other Christians. Paul says within 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." He further says to the Hebrews, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." The flee from evil and the pursuit of holiness occurs with the aid and community of other Christians. Under the category of fellowship, we can include organizations within the church, as well as youth group, Bible studies, and prayers. It is in community with other believers that some of the most marked changes take place and are essential not only in ourselves, but our children, family members, friends, and of course, fellow sisters and brothers in Christ. So to conclude, why is sanctification necessary in the life of a believer? Sanctification is God's beautiful, transforming work in the life of His people. It's the transforming presence and power of the Holy Spirit and offered to as a gift to anyone who desires it. Sanctification separates the believer from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. Paul gives us a fitting conclusion to the life of a Christian and the transformation that is sanctification. And I will close off with this. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, Paul states, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." Thank you.